I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 on this, I believe it is the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, continuing in Jesus' name. Hebrews 5. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason thereof he ought, as for people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but that he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. As he said also in other places, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from the death, as was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he came under the author of eternal salvation unto them which obey him. Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Heavenly Father, may you add the blessing to the reading of your word this day and every day henceforth. Amen. Mark spoke very highly of hope, which I thought was quite fitting. When we turn around and we speak about faith, we understand, in fact, faith is evidence of those things that are hoped for. In other words, now we come to this understanding that by the encouragement of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to see that God will provide for us, will take care of us. And that is so important for us in this day and age. Not only for our earthly life, to understand and to know that God will take care of everything for us in our earthly life, but all the more in our spiritual walk, in our understanding of faith. To understand and to know, and both the readings that were read today spoke very highly about Jesus Christ accomplishing that great work. Could there be anything greater? No. That we would be gifted eternal life by the finished work of Jesus Christ. And this text here speaks so highly of it. Actually brings up this aspect of who Jesus is, what he has performed, and also that God spoke of this even in the Old Testament. We often hear about Melchizedek. We turn around and not a lot is written about him. He's touched on in Psalms. We understand in Genesis where we see him. And then we understand Hebrews really brings this into full account of Jesus Christ, of understanding that he was in a likeness of Christ, if we could say it in that way. But if we want to remember the story, we need to remember back in Genesis. We need to come down to the understanding of Lot now was captured. Many kingdoms came against and captured Lot. Lot was taken away as a prisoner. And Abraham, I think it's awesome. Though him and Lot separated and went their own ways, and Abraham allowed him in reality to choose any direction he wanted, Abraham did not lose sight of what was important. So we turn around and we understand Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his trained servants of his own household. And he had hundreds and hundreds of thousands of armies. No, that's not what the scripture says. He was going, in reality, some say four kingdoms, some say five kingdoms, but he was going against a pile of kingdoms to go get his nephew. And he was going out there, and he took 318 men with him. If that isn't faith, to go against all these kings, with 318 men, and he had a hope that he could accomplish what he needed to accomplish. Previously to this part in Genesis, it speaks very highly of Abraham, that he was not poor. He was very, very wealthy. And that's therefore an important reason. He didn't need anything. He was not going after these kingdoms in reality to gain some material wealth. He had all he needed. He went to save Lot. How do we encompass all the commandments? Love God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. He had a desire for restoration for Lot. Here's a man that probably, if you could say it in our carnal sense, had a lot to lose. He could, in reality, sit on his beachfront property, enjoy his life for the rest of his life because he had all he needed. But he risked everything to go save his nephew because that was what was important to him. These relationships. But he didn't go alone. He went in the confidence of God the Father. He took on thousands with 318. And he was victorious. And he came out with a bounty that was beyond understanding. He trusted, he went, he came out a victor, and he had more than he ever dreamed of. And he had Lot. Then we see Melchizedek. He enters into the scene. King of Salem. Jerusalem, if you want to think of it in that way. And he comes out, which is very interesting, to this one. He comes out and he blesses him. And he actually breaks bread with him. Melchizedek actually means, a literal translation, is King of Righteousness, or the Righteous One. That's where we really understand who this is. And then he comes into play where he comes out and he blesses Abraham. And Abraham, in return, shows his thankful heart. That was kind of the emphasis of my seminar down in South Carolina, because it deals with tithing, and we're not talking about tithing. But this is the first place, which is an interesting point I want to bring that out. It's the first place you see tithing in the Scripture. It is before, 600 years before the law was established. So tithing is not a legalistic thing. 600 years before. He gave him a tenth of all that he possessed. So anyways, now we come to this point, all the way up into Hebrews, where now the Scripture is bringing back in a remembrance of that King of Righteousness, of the one who in reality is to bless. He says, for every high priest. Now we understand what he's saying here. He says, every high priest from among men is chosen from among men and appointed to act in behalf of men. There's the first thing that you've got to notice here. These high priests, they didn't just all of a sudden stand up one day and say, hey, I'm it. They were chosen of God. Even in the Old Testament understanding that Aaron and his clan were put in charge of being the high priests, that God chose them. And now he was appointed to act how? In behalf of all the others. He was representation for all of them. For all of them. Because he had this relationship, because God called him. What was his purpose? To offer these gifts, to offer sacrifices and atonement, if you could say it, for their sin. It's kind of an amazing thing. Even back in this time, in the Old Testament understanding, they couldn't do it for themselves. We don't think of that. Sometimes I think when we think about it, we think of the sacrifices while the men, the people, everybody did their own. They were brought in reality to the temple, that they would be offered by the high priest for atonement. He says, now, this individual that was chosen, that was appointed by God, he was there to represent everybody else, but he could deal gently with them. He could understand. Why could he understand? He could understand their ignorant or their wayward ways because he himself fought it. Sometimes I think this is amazing when we deal with people, and sometimes when we deal with people quite harshly, we have a tendency to forget that we are human also. That when we turn around and we look at somebody in a certain situation, and if we were to turn around and actually say to ourselves, how in the world could they get in that situation? Do we forget that we ourselves also are human? That we all have our infirmities, that we all have our struggles, that we all carry this flesh. Sometimes we can have a tendency to look at someone in leadership and say, well, how in the world could they do that? Because they're human. I've had idols in my life, or not idols, heroes in my life. I've had quite a few of them. And I have a very dear friend of mine who is a hero in my eyes. God used him immensely in my life to encourage me, to strengthen me. In all honesty, God allowed him to be able to open the gospel to me. And I had an opportunity one time to be serving as a member of a congregation to serve communion. And when I served communion, you know, it's kind of a very, if you could say, emotional time. And I'm not real good with emotions. I like to... You know, I was raised in a house where if you cried, you got hit for it. Ever heard that statement? You want something to cry about? So I bite my tongue. I do whatever I can do not to cry. It's kind of trained. I noticed my brother does the same thing. But, you know, electrolock hoses are not very good instruments to beat kids with. But, hey, sometimes it happens. So in other words, communion can be difficult for me. One time I was at the rail and I was serving because I was one of the only board members that was serving that day. And this hero that God placed in my life came to the communion rail. And not to speak about somebody, but he turned around and he mentioned to me, he lifted his hand and he asked to be blessed. To be blessed. He came to me to be blessed. And I know we're all human. Okay, let's pretend for a moment, though, he was my hero. And I was thinking, why is he asking? And all he said was, forgive me, for I am one of those. I literally am not too bright, so I said, one of what? A sinner. We are all human. We all carry the frailty of this flesh. And that, to me, was such a powerful thing. That's why I want to share it with you, because this was an individual that I still love dearly and that still is a great hero in my mind, though I don't see him really anymore. The fact of it is that he brought to me the understanding that we are all in the same shoes left to our own devices. We are sinners in need of grace. And this is really what this Hebrews text brings out very strongly. That yes, God did choose. It was a working of God. And he appointed somebody to take these positions. But don't think that they were above everybody. They weren't. They could understand if they were in their right mind, because sometimes we get self-righteous and we don't understand. They could understand your frailties. They could understand your waywardness. They could understand your ignorance. That's really what the scripture says. Because they were ignorant themselves. I was drawn closer to my hero, if I could say it in that way. Because he, in reality, revealed to me, we are brothers in Christ and we are the same. Without Christ, we are nothing. He himself could understand, since he himself was beset with this weakness, the weight in reality, weighed down with sin. This flesh. He says, because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for his own sins also, just as he does
for himself,
for others. Too many times I think we can enter into life and we can turn around as the ambassadors of Jesus Christ, thinking that we hold some sort of authority over people in ourselves. Even when we turn and we understand the gift of confession and absolution, which we should still understand, it is not by our own authority, not by our own power. It is a gift of God to encourage others of what Christ has done for us. And that I also need to partake of that same forgiveness. This confession and absolution is not a way of salvation only given by certain hands. It is a proclamation of salvation to all people. By grace through faith. It's so important for us. Sometimes I think I need to be reminded. I don't know if you do. I can't read your mind, your heart. I don't know. I need to be reminded that I'm not all that. Scripture says something very powerfully. It says it in a very interesting way. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Jesse does. I don't need to look at you. I do. But yet God is graceful to remind me, to bring me to those situations where the hero of my mind tells me, forgive me, for I am one of those. It wasn't forgive me because I drive a red car. Forgive me because I watch TV. Forgive me because I did this or that. Or forgive me for my lustful thoughts. Forgive me in my humanness. The fallen nature speaks. But allow me to see past that. This priest, he was chosen of God. But he was not above. But he's going to introduce us to someone that is actually quite extraordinary. He says, because of this obligation, he offered sacrifices for his own self too, just because he was also weighed down. He says, and no one could take this honor for themselves. He says, but only when called by God. And then he gives the indication of the priesthood. As Aaron was. God calls. But now, to understand things fast forward, even now, into this New Testament understanding, under the New Covenant, not the Old Covenant, which Aaron was in. In this New Covenant, where now by faith, or by grace through faith, we in reality are called to be the ambassadors of Christ. Where we are to enter into this world to bring encouragement to those that are struggling. Not to look at what they're doing, but actually to proclaim to them what has been done. He says, no one can take this for themselves. They're called forth by God. He says, so now, also, Christ. And think about this. He says, the Messiah, the Anointed One, did not exalt himself to be made high priest. That was not just all sort of his own choosing. He emptied himself, the scripture says, of his Godhead, of his privilege. He was fully human upon this earth, but yet fully God, emptying himself of his privilege, if you could say it that way. Giving up rights. He didn't make himself to be this high priest. This was God's plan. To see the love of God in and through Jesus Christ, that when He saw us in our dire straits, when He saw us in our struggle, He didn't give us a list of rules. He didn't give us a do's and don'ts. He in reality looked and He had sympathy, had compassion, just as Jesus did in His ministry on us. Ever think about that? Compassion. We talk about it in Bible study. I don't know how much we talk about it in our sermons. But having compassion on somebody is not just feeling sorry for them. Having compassion on somebody means that you have this act of remorse, of sorrow for them, but also with the means and the willingness to do something about it. We see Jesus acting throughout the Gospels. He looks at people and He has compassion on them. He heals them. He has compassion on them. He feeds them. He had the means and the ability to do something about the situation. Here, God has compassion on us. Christ did not exalt himself. He emptied himself of that privilege. But now it says it was appointed to him who said, "You are my son, and I have begotten you." This speaks in Psalm 2, no doubt about it. But we also see it in the other parts of the Gospel in the New Testament at Jesus' baptism. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." We see it in also the Transfiguration where God speaks of his affirmation of Jesus the Christ. That we would listen. So them too, even instances within Scripture say that now understanding the salvation of God through Jesus Christ, he says, "This is my Son where I find satisfaction. And this is my Son, listen to him. Believe, trust, be encouraged." He says, now, he says, he was appointed by him who gave this affirmation, who gave this endorsement. And he turns around and he says also in other places of Scripture, "You are the priest forever." And he brings it back actually to Melchizedek, and I think it really brings it out in this understanding of now this King of Righteousness. To be made right before God. We're trying to get right all the time in different things in our lives, aren't we? I'm trying to get right with my wife because I screw up generally a lot. Try to get right with my kids because I say the wrong thing. Try to get right with the government, make sure I pay my taxes. Try to get right with other people to build relationships. I am made right before the Creator of the universe by the King of Righteousness. I have a righteousness. You have a righteousness that sometimes we forget one word. Imputed. It was given to us, foreign from us. We have an imputed righteousness by grace through faith by the King of Righteousness himself. And it never ends. Man, I wish we could understand this to be singing hallelujah. I am redeemed by the blood of Christ. My debt is paid and I am free. This is good news. Where we have this hope that no matter what may be happening in our lives, that Brother Mark so greatly spoke of, even in that hospital where he was down there watching all these go through therapy, that there is a hope beyond this life. We have a hope beyond our finances. We have a hope beyond our business life. We have a hope beyond our government. We have a hope beyond all things that God so loved us, he gave the King of Righteousness in our stead. So that we could have this foreign righteousness, an imputed righteousness, poured out before us. Jesus didn't set himself up here. God did. He says very plainly, in the days of flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication. We understand this. We understand this if we read the Gospels. We see that being fully human, there was a struggle. No way around it. There was times when he went off into the desert places and prayed. There was times where we can actually see what he prayed for in the priestly prayer. And I think if we took time to read that, we'd be amazed because he prays for us. We also see where in his humanness, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, understanding the weight that was upon his shoulders to pay for the sin debt of the world. And he asks if it would be possible. But it is not possible. But he also shows his learning. He shows his trust. He shows his faith in saying, "But not my will, Father, but your will be done." He cries with loud voices and tears to him who was able in reality to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence, of his position. I think it's interesting because this is the one who heard because of the reverence. God the Father did not allow his Son to see corruption, and he resurrected him on the third day. See, sometimes we as humans, to give a description. We pray for healing. As believers in Jesus Christ, I know there's always healing. Sometimes we expect it here upon this earth. But that's a temporary healing. The full healing in reality is in the everlasting life of eternity. Jesus, he prayed to the Father, if it is your will. But the prize was more important. Because he went to the cross for the joy that was set before him. That is you and I. That is his creation. But he was not left. He was not left to see corruption. He was resurrected on that third day, victorious over hell, death, and the devil for our stead. And this is so bold that it brings us out. He did save him. Just not in human terms. Although he was the Son, although he was God's only begotten Son, it says that he learned obedience through what he suffered. Being truly man, he followed God's will. We see it so boldly in the garden. How about for us? I've told you many times how I was going through difficulties in my life, and I like to pick on myself because no one can get mad, right? But the reality of it is that when that one brother asked me very straightforward, do you pray about this difficulty? And I said, yeah. And he says, how do you pray? Get me out of it. He says, change your prayer. Allow me to go through it, that I may learn what I must learn going through it to encourage others. Jesus went through. But God still held true to his word, and he resurrected him. And by that, we are all sanctified. Through his work, by grace through faith. What a gift! So, he says he learned obedience going through the trial. He says, and being made perfect. This is kind of an interesting thing because we know Christ was perfect. I think really this what this brings out is through the perfect working, through perfection, he became the source of everlasting, eternal, everlasting salvation to all who believe. To all who have faith. He says, being designated by God as a high priest after the order, after the same understanding of that King of righteousness. You ever think about how many times the scripture really brings out salvation is God's? It does. And it was brought forth by the King of righteousness who surrendered and followed the will of God the Father for our benefit. Man, are we blessed. We have been given the greatest gift that ever could imagine. God loves you. If there's ever a message that we could say, it would be as plain as that. God loves you. And he shows it so well because he invested everything for you. And he has given you, by his grace, through the power of faith, those things hoped for, he has given you that righteousness. Live in this world as righteous individuals, those that are made right before God. For he's done it. In his name, amen.